Mark chapter 11, and it's from verse 20. And in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, calling to remembrance, saith unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which you cursed is withered away. And Jesus answering says to them, Have faith in God. Or if you've got a marginal translation, which is better, have the faith of God. For verily I say to you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, Be removed and be cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he says shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he says. Therefore I say to you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. And when you stand praying, forgive, if you have aught against any, that your Father also which is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father which is in heaven forgive your trespasses. And they come again to Jerusalem, and as he was walking in the temple, there come to him the chief priests and the scribes and the elders, and they say to him, By what authority are you doing these things? And who gave you this authority to do these things? And Jesus answered and said to them, I will also ask of you one question, and answer me, and I will tell you by what authority I do these things. The baptism of John, was it from heaven or of men? Answer me. And they reasoned with themselves, saying, If we shall say from heaven, he will say, Why then didn't you believe him? But if we shall say of men, they feared the people, for all men counted John that he was a prophet indeed. And they answered and said to Jesus, We cannot tell. And Jesus answering says to them, Neither do I tell you by what authority I do these things. May the Lord bless that reading to us tonight, in Jesus' name. It was in last week's reading that we saw where Jesus spoke that word concerning the fig tree. Seeing a fig tree afar off, having leaves, he came, if happily he might find anything thereon. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for the time of figs was not yet. And Jesus answered and said to it, No man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever. And his disciples heard it. And now we come to verse 20. In the morning, it's the next day. In the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. Wow, that's a happening. You know, if you tried to kill the roots of a tree, or a fig tree, or any other tree,
yes,
it wouldn't be dead the next day. It takes time. But this is the word of faith. Fig tree died. And in Luke chapter 13 and verse 6, there's a similar reference to fig tree. It's slightly different, but Luke 13 and verse 6, where he spoke a parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came and sought fruit thereon and found none. Then said he to the dresser of the vineyard, Behold, these 3 years I come seeking fruit on this fig tree and find none. Cut it down. Why comes it to the ground? And he answering said unto him, Lord, let it alone this year also, till I shall dig about it and dung it. And if it bear fruit, well. If not, then after that thou shalt cut it down. Now this is an interesting thing.
Yes.
3 years. But Jesus has been ministering 3 years. We always reckon it to be about 3.5 years altogether. It's usually judged by the number of Passovers and such like that you read about. But it's about 3 years. And Jesus has come looking for fruit.
Yes.
The Lord has come looking for fruit. And amongst the nation, there's not much fruit there. And the dresser of the vineyard where the tree is planted, and the vineyard is the Lord's vineyard.
Yes.
Israel is the vine. But the dresser of the vineyard says, Well, don't cut it down yet. Let me dig about it and dung it. Fertiliser. Let's see what it grows. You see, that's what Jesus came. He came looking for fruit amongst the nation 3 years. And there is some fruit. But amongst the religious people where the faith in God should be real, the priests and the Levites and those about the work of the temple, there the fruit should have been.
Yes.
That was the place, the temple was there for the glory of God. The glory of God might be known amongst the people. God dwelling in the midst of his people.
Yeah.
But he was dead. There was no fruit. Although the Lord has, as it were, stopped dealing with his people Israel as such. You can read about that in Daniel's prophecy concerning the 70 weeks. There's a final week. It's been set apart in the years that the prophecy applied to. The 70 weeks. There's 69 weeks and it's come to a stop. And there's 1 week yet to come. 7 years yet to come. And that matches with the tribulation period in the time of the book of the Revelation, where God will be dealing with his people Israel. Again, read the book of Revelation. God is dealing with his people Israel. He's looking for fruit. It looks as though the nation is dead for, what, 2,000 years nearly, up until 1948. They were scattered amongst the nations, but over the years they've been coming back. And in 1948, Israel became an independent state. The people have been coming back to the nation, but they're still spiritually dead. Oh yes, there are those Jews who have accepted Christ as Messiah and Lord. But the religion of Judaism is dead. But there's going to be an awakening. There's going to be life. Hallelujah. Amongst the people of God. They're going to look to their Messiah. They're going to look to the one whom they pierced. Hallelujah. Read about it in the book of Zechariah. They shall look to him. Zechariah chapter 12. The tremendous verses. And the time is drawing near. That's why we should get a little bit excited about it. And God says in verse 10 of Zechariah 12, he says, "And I will pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and of supplications, and they shall look upon me whom they have pierced, and they shall mourn for him as one mourns for his only son, and shall be in bitterness for him as one that is in bitterness for his firstborn." In verse 1 of chapter 13, "In that day there shall be a fountain open to the house of David and the inhabitants of Jerusalem for sin and for uncleanness." Mm-hmm. All that fountain is what poured out of those wounds. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Jesus came looking for fruit. He came looking for fruit on the fig tree. There was none. It says there wasn't the time of figs. But there should have been the buds, which people used to eat. There should have been the buds, which was a promise of the fruit was coming.
Yes.
There was nothing there. There was nothing there amongst the people of God to indicate that there was anything growing there in terms of fruit. He says, learn the parable of the fig tree. Learn the parable of the fig tree. You see, the tree that Jesus spoke to was dried up from the roots. We should be rooted and grounded in love, rooted in him. The nation wasn't rooted in God, and therefore it died. In verse 21, when they come out in the morning, they see that the fig tree is dead. Peter says, "Master, the fig tree which you cursed is withered away." It's dead already, from root to top. He's surprised. You see, there was a coming judgment for the people of God, and it came. After Jesus died, rose again, ascended to heaven, the nation is still going away from God. 66 AD, the Romans fought against them. And by 70 AD, Jerusalem was taken, the temple was destroyed, and the people were scattered throughout the world. Scattered throughout the world until 1948. There was judgment. Peter was so surprised. Jesus said to him, "Have the faith of God." Have faith in God, but what the Greek says, have the faith of God. That divine faith. And what Jesus is saying here is so often reinterpreted and watered down. And people start talking about mountains of problems and all that. But Jesus was literally talking about, say to this mountain, be moved. There's coming a day when that mountain, just outside of Jerusalem, the Mount of Olives, is going to be split in two. And the sea is going to come rushing through it. From the Mediterranean down to the Dead Sea. And with the Dead Sea, which is dead and no fish can live in it, it's going to be alive. And Jesus said, "Whoever shall say to this mountain, be moved and cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart." You see, people like to reduce it to problems because we can believe somehow or other that even if it's a mountain of problems, it can be dealt with. We can sort it out. And God can help us sort it out. But God wants us to have greater faith than that. To believe that what we consider to be utterly impossible is possible.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Don't water down the word of God. Say to this mountain, be removed into the sea. And I believe he's talking about the Mount of Olives, because that's where they were. And he's saying, this mountain, which mountain? Well, it can only be the Mount of Olives. If you do not doubt in your heart, you shall believe, and he shall have whatsoever he says. What things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. Oh, what a wonderful tool that God has given us. Because faith comes from him.
Yes.
His promises come from him. The faith to believe his promises come from him.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And here we've got the equipment to take on the world out there and to present to it the gospel message. That impossible situation where people that are dead in trespasses and sin and haven't got a care in the world about the things of God, that we can reach them with the gospel and get a response. That those which are dead in trespasses and sin can be made alive. Or have the faith of God. God speaks, it happens. That's the sort of faith. God speaks, it shall happen. You shall have whatsoever he says. In verse 24, there it is. It's wonderful. Oh, let this drive our prayer life. Let this drive our prayer life as a church. That whatever we ask, we will have it. You say, can that happen? Yes. We've got to understand that the Lord is talking about us as believers standing in the will of God.
Yes.
Knowing what the mind and the will of God is. We can't just pray for millions of pounds because we want to be rich.
You've got to
watch out for those television evangelists. He'll tell you can ask for all sorts of things.
Yes.
We can only ask according to his will.
Amen.
And if it's what he's revealed to us and it's what is placed in our hearts and we can confirm it by the word of truth and by the testimony and the witness of the Holy Spirit, whatever we ask. And doesn't God want souls in this area to be saved? Doesn't he want those impossible cases down Ilfracombe Avenue, over the road, down the road? Doesn't he want them to be saved? He does. So if we're asking for their salvation, we're asking for something which God wants. It seems a humongous task, but let's get to prayer. Let's get to asking that souls might be saved. What about Israel? Israel will be saved. When Paul says, and so all Israel shall be saved, he means that every tribe of the nation of Israel shall be saved.
Right.
He doesn't mean every Jew is going to be saved.
Right.
Because there are those that will reject him and do reject him. But all Israel... Not just Judah and Benjamin, that was the southern tribe of Judah.
Right.
Not just those who are of the tribe of Levi, but all Israel.
Yes.
Those tribes that some people say, oh, they're lost. No, they're not.
Yeah.
You'll find them in the Bible. You'll find them in the Bible. You'll find them in the New Testament. That prophetess in the temple, she was of the tribe of Asher.
Yes.
When Jesus was taken in as a baby. God knows where his people are, and all Israel, out of every tribe, will be saved. You know... Jesus came to the tree. There was nothing but leaves. Judgment came. But you know, there's a promise in the Old Testament. That there's coming the day, says God, in the Old Testament. And what he says in the Old Testament is going to come true in the future as well. Amen. That the people of God, and particularly the tribe of Judah he was referring to here, shall take root downwards. Those roots that are dead in the fig tree. Speaking about the death of the nation, the roots had gone. He said, Judah again will take root downwards and bear fruit upwards.
Yes.
Hallelujah. He's coming. He's coming. The one who said to the fig tree, you'll not bear fruit anymore, can say to the fig tree, you'll bear fruit now.
That's right.
Praise the Lord. Oh, let this drive our prayer life as a church, our outreach, our praise, our worship. Not just singing songs for the sake of singing songs, but our praise and worship empowered and driven by the Holy Spirit. And let this prayer life that Jesus is talking about here move in our use of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. That our hearts might be crying out to God as the Word of God exhorts us to desire and to seek the gifts of the Holy Spirit and the best gifts. Why? So that we might be of use to the body of Christ and for the building up of the body of Christ.
Definitely.
It's no good going over to human psychology, how to get people to work together and all the rest of it. It's no good going to business things, management and so on to get the best out of people.
Memberships.
No, it's got to do with the Holy Spirit moving in our midst and moving in our hearts and moving in our lives. Hallelujah.
Glory.
And what God gives you to do and what God empowers you to do, you can't delegate it to anybody else. Hallelujah.
Right.
People talk about delegation. They're talking business world. They're talking human ideas. Oh yeah, he's your burden, he's the load. Delegate it to somebody else.
No.
You can't delegate your calling. If God has called you to do something, you've got to do it. Nobody else can do it. Hallelujah.
That's right.
Praise the Lord. We need to wake up to what the Bible teaches and move away from the modern trend in churches to go along these worldly ways.
That's right.
We can work it out. We can do it because we know the plan and we know how to work together. And we know how to get the best out of people. We've studied the psychology and all the rest of it. Rubbish.
That's right.
Be filled with the Spirit of God. Be filled with the Spirit of God. And may our whole church be filled with the Spirit of God. And may we move in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Why do churches not move in the gifts of the Holy Spirit? Because they think that we can do what we need to do ourselves. We've got ideas of how to treat people and what to do for them and how to counsel them and so on. And we go on counselling courses to know how to counsel them. Be filled with the Spirit.
Amen.
And when you stand praying, says Jesus, forgive. Oh, forgive. That's another problem with going the world's way, you know. The way of the educated world, the way of the business world, the way of the psychology world, the way of man. We get filled with ourselves. Because we've learned how to do it and we can do it. We've got to be in that situation all the time where we say, I can't do it, Lord.
Right.
I need you every hour. Every hour I need you, Lord. Oh, and when we come in that way, oh, praise the Lord. We're filled with the Holy Spirit. We're moved by the power of the Spirit. Mm-hmm. We won't get lifted up in ourselves because we know that what has happened has been all of God. We won't have a pride in ourselves because we did the course and we learned how to do it and we've got the skills. No. Without him we are nothing. And if we get lifted up, we're going to be in that situation where we're not very forgiving to those who can't do it. We'll be critical towards those who can't do it. Jesus said, when you stand praying, forgive.
Yes.
Forgive. Forgive. If people have upset you, if people offended you, forgive. Don't get offended because they've treated your skills and your expertise lightly. If you're moving in the power of the Spirit of God, it's not your skill, it's not your expertise,
that's
it's
right.
The Lord. And if they're critical, if they say things against you, if they do things against you, forgive. Forgive. I'm talking to myself. Forgive. I have to talk to myself, because if I don't, Penny will remind me when I get home.
Amen.
If you've got anything against anyone, he says, forgive. And he says, if you stand praying, forgive, if you have anything against anyone, that your Father, which is in heaven, may also forgive you your trespasses. If you do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive you trespasses. Your trespasses. This is the Lord's Prayer, what we call the Lord's Prayer.
Right. The disciples' prayer.
Matthew chapter 6. And here's how it goes. And forgive us our trespasses. Or, as it says in Matthew 6 and verse 12, it says, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your heavenly Father forgive you your trespasses. Forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. In Matthew 18, there's a little reading here in Matthew 18 that I'd like to read to you. Matthew 18 and verse 20. And sometimes it's good just to use the word of God as the commentary on what we're doing. Matthew 18 and verse 20. Jesus said this, for where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. We love that verse. It means Jesus is here tonight. We gather together in his name.
Yes.
Amen.
Pray that he might lead us into all truth. Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? How often am I going to keep on doing this, Lord? Will seven times be enough? Till seven times? And Jesus said unto him, I say not unto you until seven times, but until 70 times seven. You'll have given up. I'm worrying about it if you're trying to work out, have I done 70 times seven yet?
It's endless.
He goes on and on and on. Not just 490. Jesus said to him, I say not unto you until seven times, but until 70 times seven. Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened to a certain king, which would take account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought to him which owed him 10,000 talents. But forasmuch as he had not to pay, his lord commanded him to be sold, his wife and children and all that he had, and payment to be made. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay you all. Then the lord of that servant was moved with compassion, and loosed him, and forgave him the debt. But the same servant went out, and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence, And he laid hands on him, took him by the throat, saying, pay me what you owe. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, have patience with me and I will pay you all. And he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when the fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry, and they came and told their lord all that was done. Then the lord, after that he had called him, said to him, you wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you desired me. Should not you also have had compassion on your fellow servant, even as I had pity on you? And his lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors, till he should pay all that was due unto him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if you from your hearts forgive not everyone his brother that trespasses. Oh, the Lord gives us guidance there.
That's right.
The Lord gives us guidance. Oh, that we might be like Jesus.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And know that forgiveness and that attitude of forgiving. It brings such a harmony amongst the people of God.
That's right.
No hard feelings. No gossip. Not just words, but real forgiveness. Forgiveness. What a wonderful Saviour we have.
Amen.
What a wonderful attitude of forgiveness. If we have faith. If we forgive. And the scribes, and the Pharisees, and the leaders, they come to Jesus. As they come to Jerusalem, they come to walking in the temple. They come to him, the chief priests and the scribes and the elders. By what authority are you doing these things?
Yes.
Now, I wonder what things they're talking about. I think they're talking about when Jesus was in their temple where he is now, and he cleared it out.
It's a house of prayer for all nations, says Jesus, and you've made it a den of thieves.
Yeah.
Who gave you the authority to do these things? But they're also talking about the things that he's talking about, the things that he's saying, the things that he's been teaching. Who gave you the authority to do these things? You know, we have an authority too. We have an authority in the Lord. We have the authority of his word. We have the authority that comes through the power of the Holy Spirit. We have the authority to stand against the things of the enemy.
Yes.
And to see the things of the enemy driven back. And to see people being saved. And to see people being healed. And we can come in prayer in that authority. Sometimes we feel like giving up. We say, oh, will it ever happen? We have an authority to pray and to claim for the salvation of souls, that the enemy will be driven back. That the things that he uses, disease and sickness, can be dealt with.
Yes.
And the souls might be saved. Who gave you this authority? And Jesus said, let me ask you a question first.
Mm-hmm.
You answer it and I'll tell you. The baptism of John, where did it come from? Was it from heaven or was it of men? And really, he's asking another question as well. The authority that I have that you're asking me about for me, where's it come from?
Yes.
From heaven? Or is it just me? From men? And they don't know what to do. Because if they say from heaven, we're going to have to admit that Jesus has his authority from heaven too. From God.
John bore witness to it.
Because John spoke about Jesus. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Because in Mark chapter 1. In verses 7 to 8, this is what John the Baptist said. John was preaching, and he preached saying, there comes one mightier than I after me, the latchet of whose shoes I am not worthy to stoop down and unloose. I indeed have baptized you with water, but he shall baptize you with the Holy Spirit. If they recognized John the Baptist as being authorized from heaven, what about Jesus? Oh, hallelujah. And of course it's true. He's the Son of God. He comes with full divine authority with a work to do. Or what do we say from heaven? We're not going to admit that. If we say of men, the people are going to be annoyed with us because they accept him as a prophet.
Right.
I said, we can't tell. Well, says Jesus, I'm not going to tell you either. The implication, you see, would be that whatever authority John has, Jesus has greater. He's from the Father. When you read in Matthew chapter 3 and verse 7, of those that came to John the Baptist,
yes.
It says that many of the Pharisees and Sadducees
yeah.
were come to his baptism. They're not only going to upset the people, there are many of the Pharisees and the Sadducees who came to him, and who knows how many of those were baptized by John the Baptist. It's a question they can't answer. We've got to proceed in faith. We've got to proceed in faith. We've got to proceed in that attitude of the Lord. Why did the Lord come? That we might be forgiven. That we might be cleansed from every sin. And we've got to go also in that attitude of forgiveness. People are going to come against us as they came against Jesus. And what did Jesus do? On the cross, having been through all that he went through, beaten, battered, scourged, nailed to the cross,
Amen.
Spear in his side.
Yes.
What did he cry out from the cross right at the beginning when they nailed him to the cross? He said, Father, forgive them,
Amen.
For they know not what they do. Jesus is the leading example in the matter of forgiveness. They did everything against him.
That's right.
The vilest of things. And what comes from his mouth? Words of forgiveness.
Amen.
That's why he's dying. That our sins might be forgiven. All that we have done and sinned against him.
Yes.
He's forgiven. That attitude of forgiveness should be found in his people. We might have faith. Faith isn't just trying to believe. Faith is the faith of God. It makes things happen. Hallelujah. It makes the word of God, it brings the word of God into reality. And forgiveness is part of the new creation. We are born again of his spirit.
Yes.
It's Christ in us, the hope of glory.
Amen.
Therefore there should be a manifestation of the Christ life. The fruit of the spirit. Forgiveness. And there should also be the authority. And the power of God's word amongst God's people.
Yes.
The authority. We can move in the authority, the divine authority. Go right the way back.
Amen.
To the end of the Gospels, Matthew and Mark. Go into all the world. There's the authority.
Yes.
Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Hallelujah. Matthew, make disciples of all nations.
Yes.
Disciple them. Not just preach the word to them, but disciple them.
Yes.
Bring them into the family.
That's right.
And we have the authority to do it. Let's get out there. We're here in Bitsy. You know, God calls people to all sorts of places in the world. But we're here. In this area. Bitsy, Basin, Hadley, we're from. Up the hill. But where we are. There's a work for us to do that will see souls saved and men and women's lives changed for good, that they might know the forgiveness of God and life in all its fullness. Or let him come into our fellowship and into our meetings when we come together, where two or three are gathered together in his name, there am I in the midst.
Yeah.
Will he find fruit? Oh, let's pray that he will find much fruit in the days that lie ahead. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen.
Glory.